Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Jan. That was quite an entrance.
Yes, well, it's a little, Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, good. So our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have. All right, so let's take our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Wow, I'm grateful for being on this call. This is Anne calling from the Bay Area. How exciting.
How exciting. What are you seeing?
Well, one of the things I'm so grateful for is how Sangha allows us to see that we're one. Because I, of course, as everybody says, I could be anybody calling into the show. And I was in the queue on Monday, and the person who got on and talked about the freezer, the food in the freezer she was going to make soup out of, and then she realized this is horrible food and I should just throw it away. I mean, that was my experience with other live content. I was planning a trip, and I just watched myself try to pick the least expensive way I could do this, to great expense to my body, and then all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I could pick the easiest way to do this, even though it's going to cost more money. And it was just a huge revelation.
I could pick kindness.
Yeah, I could put kindness over cost? Oh my God, what a shocker.
Uh-huh.
What a shocker. And it was just one of those things where it just felt like grace, because it just felt like all of a sudden I could see it, and so in seeing it, I could say no to it. But if I didn't, it was like, you know what it was like, Sherry? It reminded me of that story you used to tell, like maybe you still tell it, about having the ice cream cone. When you got an ice cream and you went outside and the ice cream fell off the cone, and you just put it in the trash and went back in and got another ice cream, and it was like this huge thing for you.
It was huge.
What it felt like. It's like, I mean, you might want to say a little bit, I mean, I probably butchered that story, but that's what it felt like. It was like all of a sudden I stepped out of karma in a big way.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, that was the point of that story, because of course, you know, I think a lot of us are conditioned to, you drop the cone. It's your fault. You weren't paying attention. You've done something wrong. Now you need to be punished. And of course, one of the ways that you need to be punished is you don't get any ice cream, right? And to just say, no, I'm not playing that game. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not my fault. I get an ice cream. And it's, you're right. It's just turning our back on karma and saying, no, we're going in a new direction. So, the expression, you won't remember what you paid. You'll only remember what you got.
Yes. Yes.
Right? And that's what you saw in that moment of clarity, right? So, and it's profound, because it's true. You won't remember the money that you saved. That's not going to make a difference for you anywhere. But you will remember that you weren't prioritized enough to have a trip that you can enjoy, that you had to be sacrificed, and you had to not have the trip that you wanted. That's the karma that's being reinforced, right? Yeah.
Yes, and the words that I didn't do it, and the words I so related to, and what you said was, no, I'm not playing that game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the ability to have that choice just feels phenomenal.
Yeah. So I'm here at this juncture. On the one hand, I have a human being. On the other, I have some suffering karma. Which am I going to choose? And then it gets pretty clear, doesn't it? As you point out, it gets really clear for us as soon as it drops in. As soon as we see it, it is so obvious. But until we do, not obvious at all.
Yes, and I'm just so grateful, because I know that even though that was, you know, quote unquote, a moment of grace, it comes from daily practice. It comes from practice, 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 and then that opens up the ability to see that. And so I'm just so grateful. And the other, I know there's tons of people who want to get on, so I'll just say one other thing. In one of the calls the other day, you were, I don't even know what you were saying. It goes back to what are you going to remember, right? You're not going to remember how much you paid for it. What is it you said? You're not going to remember the cost. You're going to remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
I can't, what was?
Yeah. You
whatever.
Won't remember,
yeah.
You'll just remember what you got.
Yes. So I don't remember the content of what you were saying to this person, but it just hit me in a new way, and I don't even know if you know, there aren't words for it, but the words I would put to it is, oh, my heavens, Sherry is loving this person with everything in her being, and I just got that is available because you were so present and so there and so respectful of whatever the person was going through. You know, they weren't wrong. Wherever they were was fine, you know, all of that. And I just saw how that is available. One of the points of meditation is for us to sit there and receive that, if that makes any sense. Because part of my karma is I've got to meditate right. I'm here to do this right.
Right.
And
yeah.
what if...
Yeah.
None of that matters. I'm here to receive love. I'm here to be, to reside in love.
Yes. 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 I support choice B. And you're right. It is exactly the same thing. Okay, so you meditate right, whatever that is. What
right,
are you going
exactly.
to get out of that? You're going to get out of that love is conditional. That there are standards, you have to meet them.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's what we'll get out of doing the right meditation. But if you're just there because you love this person, and it's not personal, right? It's the way we would be with anyone or anything. And so there you are, and you just want her to feel presence and unconditional love. That's why you're sitting there, because in that undistracted milieu, we have our best chance of having that experience. That's the only point of sitting, right? And so you sit down and you sit with her so that she ups her chances of having an experience of being unconditionally loved.
And you know, Sherry, I don't think I ever have really seen that before. I think there has always been a standard I was trying to meet. I mean, that's phenomenal. How long have I been sitting? And to really get that, somebody said, I mean, this conditioning is so deep. Somebody said to me the other day, it's our sacred duty to love ourselves. And when you just said that, I would change that to, it's our sacred duty to love. It's our sacred duty to be in compassion.
That's right, because there isn't an ourself.
Right.
This is just, in your case, Anne is the human being that you get to practice with, right? Then you practice there, and you practice with the tree, and you practice with the dog and the cat and the neighbor and the, you know, but there's no myself that I need to love. That's creepy.
Right.
And it also has resulted in the mess that the world is in. Because eyes are busy loving themselves. And that's not what we're going for.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I'm grateful for is that these calls are recorded, because I am going to get this recording. I am going to take that clip about what is meditation really about. I'm going to put it on my recording, and I'm going to listen to it all the time, because that is so important and critical.
That's right.
I do not want to forget. So thank you to everybody participating who makes me remember that we're all one, and that being in compassion is so important. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Go happy.
Bye, Jen. Bye, Sherry. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Anne.
That's what you call a lit-up human.
And I love that connection, Sherry, of the, you know, the assignment being, can you hear me?
Yeah. You're okay. Echoey, but you're fine. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I heard an echo too. Anyway, just briefly, that connection with the gratitude for all we have feels like the thing that allows us to make such a different choice that Anne was pointing at. Because I realized I'm, you know, taking this trip in a way that I don't actually need to. I get present. I have gratitude for what I actually have. And that opens up that other choice, which we can set. Is it, not just Anne. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and it's an application of that you'll do for the love of others what we wouldn't be willing to do for ourselves. You know, as Anne steps back and looks at that human being as if she were somebody else, just another nice person who she happens to know.
Yeah.
Would she say, well, now, you know, you need to sacrifice yourself so that you can find all of the cheapest choices, because the only thing that matters about taking a trip is spending as little money as possible. So whatever you have to go through to achieve that standard, that's what you need to do. I mean, there is no way.
No.
We wouldn't even
about
saying something like that.
Yeah, that's absolutely the most brilliant technique. It's just, okay, let me just flip the whole conversation that's happening in my head and see if I would have it with a friend. Okay, nope, no way. Not in a million years.
Right, so we're not having it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, this is Debbie. Instead of calling from Minnesota, I'm calling from Vermont.
Well,
hi.
See there? Hi.
Wow, I did not think I'd get on today. That just got me up in a hurry.
All right, breathe. Take two.
Well,
here we are.
I'm grateful for so many things right now, including Sangha and practice. And I have a practice question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, you talked a little bit in yesterday's show just about, I don't know, I can't even get it out of my head right now, but something about sort of following practice commitments and that they can be done in sort of a rote, stale way versus kind of having that underpinning of following life energy, which you've spoken to before in the past. I've experienced you talking to that.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Yeah. Can you formulate something around that?
Well, it's kind of what Anne was talking about, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a meditator. And and we just get into, and I know what that means, and I know how to do that. And so, and it's just, and I'm not saying that this is true for Anne, but it can be the case that all just gets turned over to ego. I know what a good meditation is. I know what a bad one is. I'm in charge of it. I'm going to make sure that you do it. I'm going to, right? Which is, I mean, we might as well be, well, what dropped in is robbing liquor stores, which is not quite true, but not that far off. In other words, all we're doing is reinforcing ego. So it's called meditation. If we called it ego reinforcement, then we would probably be less willing to take beatings for not doing it properly. But when we're doing what we're doing, when we're practicing being present in life and following life's guidance, then that's when those insights drop in. That's when we're here and open and available for the guidance that we're seeking. And we keep commitments simply because we are learning to keep commitments. We're learning to be who we want to be. Because there's nothing in life that is going to, in the intelligence that animates, that's going to turn a commitment into ego maintenance.
You don't think so?
No. So
that's where my question is. That's where my question is. So, you know, fulfilling the assignments for, for this month's focus, you know, the recording and listening assignments, or whatever habit practice it is, mm-hmm. can be turned over to ego and can become this should thing, like you said, with meditation.
That's right. And that's what we're seeing, but that's not keeping the commitment. So in our practice we count from 1 to 10 when we sit, right, with the breath.
Right.
And
right.
And so people will say to me, I can count from 1 to 10 and make a shopping list. I can count from 1 to 10.
Right, that's true.
And plan a trip.
That's true.
Okay. So what there is to get out of that is you're not counting from 1 to 10. And with the other, what you get out of it is you're not keeping the commitment. So there are.
I'm not with you.
Yeah? Huh?
Not with you. No.
Oh, son of a gun. That was because I.
Okay.
Sorry. Being so clear.
Say it again. Say it again.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. So I can be. Let's see. How about this? I can be a good mother from ego, or I can be a good mother from presence.
Hmm.
Are those the same thing?
Well, no, but I'm wondering if the form of one supports the follow-through of the other.
Well, if you don't have a commitment, a practice commitment, let's say, but it doesn't matter, any commitment. If you don't have that, you could wander off forever. So we
yeah.
count from 1 to 10 so that you know when you hit 34, you've wandered
Correct.
Off. Okay?
But you can wander off while still keeping the commitment, is what I'm saying.
Then you're not keeping the commitment.
Hmm.
So if I decide I'm going to get up every morning, stand next to my bed and pat the top of my head 3 times. And I'm going to do that's my commitment. I'm going to do that forever. Okay? And then I don't. Okay? Then I get to see how I don't. Then I do again. Then I don't.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's going back to that just noticing versus
That's right.
doing.
And so
okay.
if you're making a shopping list while you're counting from 1 to 10, you're not counting from 1 to 10. So what you've got to do is learn how to count from 1 to 10 without making that shopping list. You're
right.
so present there that the entire universe is counting from 1 to 10.
Mm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't, yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
That sounds worth doing, doesn't it? Yeah,
mm.
yeah, it really is. Yeah, we can do everything from one of two places. We can do it from distraction, from ego, from conditioned mind, or we can do it from present.
From should. Yeah.
Yeah, we can do it from should or we can do it from present. And that's what you're closing in on. That's what you're seeing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a lifetime's experience of the shoulds.
Yep. And now you're seeing those very shoulds are leading you to see the alternative. And here's the thing, Debbie. You can only see those shoulds from presence. You can live the shoulds,
right.
but you can only see them from presence.
Hmm.
So this is good. All right.
All right, that's some, I'll have to listen to this again, too. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you Jen Gasho.
You're welcome. Glad you
okay.
got on.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Yes, me too.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Debbie. And Sherry, we got lots more callers, so I'm going to keep moving through the queue.
Keep it on.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, gosh. Hi, Sherry and Jen. It's Jan. I'm in Washington, state of Washington, that is.
Hey, Jan.
Hi.
I wondered where you were.
Well, I've been on this amazing trip, and that's part of why I'm calling with the theme of this month, because my husband and I have been on a self-supported bike tour in Canada. And what it was like being, the way I'm looking back on this, it was like being on an 8-day meditation because of all that I got to see given our focus this month.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share a couple things of just sort of that were pretty amazing to me in that, and it was in the tough times, the things that, you know, the unexpected comes up. And in one situation, well, all of a sudden we hit gravel road. I mean, which on the kind of bikes we were on were really, it can be really dicey. And there was such huge resistance and just no. And finally, what I got to see from that experience, given that our focus is play this month, is no, we're not, okay, you're not in play right now. It was the voice that came in response to the no, no, no. And it's, yes, you can fall. But what you want to do is relax. You want to relax so that if you fall, there's less injury. Yeah, I mean, just, it sounds crazy, but it was that voice coming in to be with the one who was just scared to death.
it's like the still small voice as a cycling coach.
Yeah. Okay, I mean,
because there were really three players there, right? One is the human being on the bike, on the gravel, right? Who is scared, right? Who realizes this is, I could fall down. Then there's the ego wanting to stoke that fear, right? Wanting to take the focus into, oh my God, And then there's the centered, calm voice saying, yeah, you're right. This is dangerous. And so you want to be really heads up here and really relaxed, paying close attention, because anything could happen. You know, you kind of want that coach every moment of life.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not that I haven't seen it before, but I think because the resistance was so hit so strong of the no, I don't, I'm not going to do this, I don't want to. And then that it's always there. I think that's what it showed me, that it's always there, even in, I'm just going to mention one other example. We ended up in a huge storm. I mean, it was thunder, lightning, wind. And I have never had so much fun. And the reason, I don't know the reason. But I began to sing. That voice came in and just started singing what was going on. But it was with joy. And it was the vision that came to me was John Muir that you've described, I think you did, being in the tree in the storm and riding the tree. That's what it felt like, Sherry. It was incredible. And I would never in my life have dreamed that being that, a power line went down in that storm just behind us, to give an example of the dynamics of it, that shut the road down. we could have that could be that much fun in that circumstance just amazes me. And I credit it to practice for the focus of the month, for Sangha sharing everything they've shared. It wouldn't have been possible. I don't think it would have been possible.
Yeah. Well, no. And I would say probably without practice, you wouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Right.
I don't want to, but a lot of people reach a certain point in life, and that is not the kind of activity that they would choose. Okay, are you with me on that?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And then so there you get started, and certainly not under those circumstances. That's just intelligent people just quit when it gets that when it gets that crazy. And with practice, we don't. And I think again the connection that I was making is that it's always like that. Life is always exactly like that. It's always incredibly dicey. We could get very, very hurt at any moment. We really do want to be heads up, and we really do want to relax, and we do want to sing, and we do want to have fun.
Yes, and you know what? If I hadn't gone through that, if I hadn't been in that situation, I wouldn't have seen that it's possible at any point to be singing and enjoy, no matter what the circumstance. I wouldn't have seen it. And I just want to mention, just as life changes moment to moment, a half hour later, we were in sunshine by a river having lunch in beautiful weather. It was like, okay. I'm so grateful because it's all been lived out in this 8 days. I mean, everything, that's how it feels.
Your whole life. We think your life passing before your eyes is a negative.
Yep.
But we could say your life passed before your eyes in those 8 days, and it was marvelous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you so much. I know there are others that want to get on. Thank you. I just
you
had to share because
so
it seems so phenomenal to me. So thank you.
So playful. Thank you, Jan.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. And Sherry, we do have time for one more caller. I know. It's so fun.
This practice thing seems to work, doesn't it? My goodness.
It really does. Yeah. I'll tell you the practice I keep practicing is restraint and religious observance because there's so much in every call. But
yeah,
just,
you could tell us. You could tell us about making a sawdust run in an unair-conditioned pickup truck and 100 degrees.
And playing so much, just that surrender to all of it.
Yeah, playing every mile of the way.
Yeah, the John Muir image just captures it perfectly. So anyway, I shan't take up our last caller's time, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Beth in Pittsburgh.
Hello, Beth. What are you seeing?
Well, I totally did not expect to get on because I called in late. But, okay, just succinctly, I don't come from kind people. I have
You broke up just a tiny bit. You don't what?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't come from kind people. I have an uncle that was in the KKK, and I'm pretty sure my cousin followed. And the thing that I was always in trouble with my mother for was I wasn't grateful.
Mm.
I was in so much trouble just because, you know, she would, anytime I did anything wrong, the number one thing I did wrong was I wasn't grateful. So,
because if you were grateful enough, you'd be perfect.
Yes.
Which translates into you would not annoy me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it was always kind of like I'm not being the obedient person that was required.
Mm-hmm.
But what I find with practice is that I'm not being gratitude happens. It's kind of the result of getting out of the way.
Uh-huh. Is that a bumper sticker? If not, it should be. Gratitude happens.
Yeah. And it's like if I'm manufacturing it, which is what my mother wanted, that's just a pretty face. You know, it's not, there would have been, there was nothing there. It's just the words.
Well, and, you know, Beth, you know, not to be defensive for your mother, but there's a hope that what she was trying to say unskillfully or in a way that didn't translate to a child, you know, you could have your attention on all of the things that you have and everything that's working and everything that's going well. And that would inspire you to want to be engaged and engaging and participatory and that sort of thing. But that's not...
Light of spirit.
Yeah, but that's not often available for folks to communicate in a way that translates. So there's an adult saying to a child, "You're so ungrateful. Why aren't you more grateful every time the child does something that displeases the parent?" And so it just really goes nowhere, right? Except into hard feelings. Yeah.
It's like when I was a nanny, the grandparents came to visit the child and brought like $2,000 worth of toys. And the kid had like a joyous time opening and got to the end of it. And it's like, what's next? So, I mean, it's like having everything go your way isn't necessarily going to generate gratitude.
Right. What's next is we wrap all these toys back up and take them to the homeless shelter. Okay, here we go. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how are you applying that now? By noticing that when you're present, that just arises spontaneously because you really are aware of all the good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like I can have a practice of saying thank you and not really meaning it until I do. But it's kind of like, I remember you once saying it's like you find the innocence to stay at center.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I clutch at gratitude, it just darts away.
Mm-hmm.
But letting the gratitude just be there, then it kind of leads toward more practice.
Yes, because Beth, what I just saw when you said that is, so you know, I'm going to be grateful, damn it. And so I'm going to sit here and I'm going to say thank you. And I am so filled with resentment and bitterness and anger, and I'm just going to keep saying thank you. And eventually it works, because what I'm looking for is what inspired me to sit down and say thank you in spite of all of that resistance. And eventually the resistance can't maintain itself, and what's left is what inspired me to want to sit down and say thank you. And for that, I am deeply grateful.
Yes. The much yes, thank you. I love you. Yes, please. Thank you. I love you.
Is
often not coming from a place of I feel any love or any thankfulness or any. And it's usually like, I mean, sometimes a stubborn feeling, but I've been doing it for 8 or 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Every morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it wears that negativity away, doesn't it? That love just eventually overwhelms the negativity.
C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia. Dragon. C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, where the dragon has to get rid of its skin. And keeps, like, digging at the scales, keep digging at the scales until he finds the true self underneath. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. And this beats digging at scales, doesn't it? Yes, please. Thank you. I love you.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, my dear. Go happy, huh?
Yet again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Beth and Sherry. That brings us to the end of another fabulous show. And our assignment for today is do your daily practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone? With a partner? With a friend? With a crowd? With a party? Have that celebration. Yay.
Yay.
So fun.
So fun. And I'll tell you, just for those of you who have been following along with me through this this last period of time, the new book is heading off to begin its life of its on its own today. So much
today,
celebration.
What a perfect day.
Around here.
Oh, my gosh.
When you said that, I said, yes, I am definitely in celebration mode. Thank you, Jan.
Okay,
thank
well, we all have our own thing to celebrate, and we will all celebrate the book heading off and then eventually heading all of our way. Very exciting.
Yeah. Good. All right. Take good care.
Thanks, Sherry.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.